This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 248 for Monday, April 29th, 2024.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking.
And then we'll get into some crazy news because there's nothing else to talk about this week, including an endowment controversy, a spaghetti assault, illegal currency, there's monsters in a room, and meat freshener spray. I couldn't read it for a second.
Meat freshener spray.
The carcasses.
Excuse me. I like that. Well, we didn't record last week because, you know, as we had mentioned, we were, Colin and I were doing DC trip, and we had also talked a little bit about trying to meet up while I was in DC as well. And, luckily, now we weren't able to drink, unfortunately, but, we were able to meet up at Mount Vernon.
Got to see the former, I guess, is still his home. He's buried there, but of George Washington, which was great. And I know we had talked about, probably even before that, and I know I was thinking it, I said, we're going to make these plans, but it's going to be really hard to get it in. I mean, you guys are coming down here from Detroit and going to DC. It's like, you're not going to have a lot of downtime. And as your itinerary showed, it was packed to the gills. So I think that was the best case. That would have been bummed if we didn't have anything. Yeah. But then I thought, you know, I can go into DC, find a place to park, meet up with you guys, and they'd be like, all right, well, we're going over here now by the time I got there. At least this was a quarantine place.
Yeah, that was my concern because we were going so many places and we were just constantly on the move. If I told you, meet us here, you would get there and we probably wouldn't be there anymore. Like, that's how quickly we were moving. We weren't screwing around. And so, I am glad that we were. Yeah, I'm glad we were able to make it work, and it all turned out well at the end of the day.
Good. Yeah, well, it's good to see you guys. Good to see Colin have some fun ribbing him and showing him some of my best dad jokes.
He did appreciate that, and you got to be a chaperone too. You got the chaperone sticker.
It's official. I haven't received my pay yet, though.
No, it's the checks in the mail.
Now, did he use my chaperone sticker the rest of the way, or did somebody finally confiscate it?
No, nobody confiscated it. I will say this. They did not, it did eventually come off because we were taking, like, group photos and stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe we don't want to have him wearing a chaperone sticker. So I did make the call on that one, but had a good time, though. It was good to see you.
Good, good. You too. Well, shit, we didn't get to drink then, but I think we can definitely drink something now.
Let's get right into it.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace.
We drank beer, my friends and I,
boys and girls.
I liked beer, still like beer.
I was surprised at how vocal he was about the fact that he likes beer.
He was extremely vocal.
We do too.
He was extremely vocal about that. But so
talked about it a lot.
This week we're going to our friends over at Southern Tier. We've been to Southern Tier many times on this show. I might just read them off to you. We'll see what happens. We'll see how I'm feeling in the moment. I like these things to be organic. I don't need to plan too much here. But anyway, we're Southern Tier, and it's a new brew from Southern Tier called Orange Twist, which is in collaboration with Perry's Ice Cream. And if you remember, there's another very, very delicious Southern Tier brew that was also in a collaboration with Perry's Ice Cream. And it's from one of our prior episodes from last summer, the Southern Tier Vanilla Skilp.
Oh, yeah, Vanilla Skilp.
Vanilla Skilp was also in collaboration with Southern Tier. And
Vanilla Skilp.
There it is. And it was a very good beer. And so I have high hopes for this one. First off, what I can tell you is I opened the bottle. Didn't, like, open it right in front of my face even, but I just opened the bottle and I could smell the orange, but very sweet. Yeah. Like, there was vanilla in it. So I'm feeling pretty good about this beer. I do like Orange Twist, which, you know, is orange. Yeah. and or orange and vanilla ice cream or sherbet.
Vanilla
sorbet, sorbet, whatever the fuck you call it. Twist it up.
Sherbet.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, frozen yogurt as well. You could also do in a, yep. in an orange yep. twist. But nonetheless, this is in a beer form, which is my favorite. If you look at it, it's a very, I mean, it's an orange, oh, wow. Golden orange color. And again, on the nose, I kid you not, I don't smell beer. I smell orange twist. Like, if I didn't see this and somebody had blindfolded me and said, smell this, I would say that smells like orange and vanilla ice cream. So I'm pretty excited about this. I hope I'm not like overselling it here, because maybe I taste it and it tastes like shit. We'll find out. Probably not, though, because Southern
tastes really like good. Orange like, at
I,
all.
Again, I can smell it from here. I don't have it anywhere near my nose. I can smell it. So here we go.
That's how that cinnamon roll one was when I opened that up. And that's why I kept the bottle on my desk for so long and sniffed it out of the bottle.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I mean, you get... Oh, I just want to smell it.
See? You get, do that with the bottle. You're going to keep it on your desk.
You get the orange. You get the vanilla.
This smells like my vagina.
Very. It's sweet. It's sweet. It's a sweet beer, as it should be. Right. I mean, it's freaking orange twist beer. But
yeah,
man, it's 8.6% alcohol by volume. It doesn't seem like it has any alcohol in it, though. This is problematic.
Yeah,
I instinctively got 2 4 packs of this when I saw it on the shelf. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need more of this.
I'm going to look up where I can.
It's an imperial stout. No, it's not an imperial stout. It's an imperial. It's definitely not a stout. It's an imperial ale. Now they say, I will correct myself. It's an imperial ale. Robert, you always judge me for this. I got to rate it a 5, though.
It's such. I didn't have a chance to get my sound.
It's such. Well, you should have been. You should have known. This is a really good beer. I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you like sweeter dessert stuff, like this is a good one for the summer. Now that the weather's warming up, it's supposed to be in the upper 70s here in Michigan over the weekend. I think it's going to supposed to rain the whole weekend, but nonetheless, it'll be warm. This is a really good beer to pair along with a nice, nice summer day. And, you know, it's sweet. It's a little bit desserty, but it's sweet, but also you get the orange and it's kind of refreshing at the same time though. Yeah. So, hats off to Southern Tier. They did it again. With their, Orange Twist Imperial Ale. And, if you can find it, if you like this, sweeter beers, you should probably pick some up because it's really good.
Well, yeah, I'd be curious. And I know I mentioned it before, but that's the one. Do you still have the bottle there? If you put that near your nose, is it an accentuated smell to it?
The bottle smells really good. I'm going to do what you do and just like creepily.
The whole episode, just hold it by your nose.
As I'm doing craziness. Sorry if it's... Sounds like you're huffing because I'm talking into my bottle instead of my microphone.
But smell the glass, smell the beer, and smell the bottle. Which is more orange and vanilla? Which one is
the glass by a long shot? Because the actual beer that smells is in the glass.
Well, that's stupid. But by the time the beer is gone, you'll still have the bottle. It'll smell like orange and vanilla for a long time.
It might.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's going to go in our returnables container in the garage, but I mean, 10 cents a bottle in Michigan. I'm just saying. Although, you know what? We never return them. We wait till there's a couple bags and there's a local there's a local nonprofit I got a guy's number. I text him, "Hey, I got a couple bags of returnables for you." And he comes and he picks them up. So, I don't deal with it, but it goes to a good cause, so that's even better.
Well, that's good. Well, I've got something that I have had very few of this brewery on the episodes, and not for lack of, well, their beer is decent, but it's a Northern Virginia brewery, and their beer is decent. And now and then we'll find some that we like to go there and have it, but it's some that we haven't really found translates really well to home. This one's different. And the funny thing is, and I started to panic a little bit, because I knew I hadn't had it on the show, but then I went to look at the episodes, and I put the brewery in there, and I found an episode where I did have one of theirs.
Liquid fecal excrement.
Oh, liquid fecal excrement. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So wait.
That's not the name of the beer, thankfully.
You've already had this beer on the show?
No, I'm going to explain that. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm speaking sure.
I had it on episode TTB053.
Liquid fecal excrement.
Yeah. So that goes a long way back. And that's the little sound clip I tried to find before the episode because I knew it would be important. But back then, I had the Robert suckled the teat of an Old Dominion Imperial Stout from Two Silos Brewing.
It's put so and much more one, effort into our show notes. Hey, go ahead.
This one takes, Untappd will tell us. So what I've got is it's a 2023 limited edition. So, I had a sound of that too.
Expired.
But it's not really expired. But it's the Barrel Reserve series of their Imperial Stout. So basically, they have the Old Dominion Imperial Stout, and they age it in bourbon barrels.
When I was in D.C., or one of the times we were in D.C., did we go to Two Silos?
No, we drove past it
on our way to another place.
We went past it because we were going to the place where you got the glass you're using. Old Busthead.
Oh yeah, that's right. I am using.
So we went there because they have more stouts, and outside of this one, Two Silos doesn't tend to have a lot of stouts. So they have a good gingerbread, a good pumpkin, a good couple other ones that are they're 3.5, 3.75 like kind of range. But this one we tend to enjoy. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But again, it's a 2023 Barrel Reserve Imperial Stout.
Not interested.
From Two Silos Brewing, which is 9.5% alcohol by volume. And Untappd tells us our award-winning recipe is returning by popular demand with this encore release. Our Old Dominion Imperial Stout, which is what I had, was aged in bourbon barrels for 12 months. Virginia bourbon barrels, even. The American oak and bourbon enhance the complex flavor profile of this big beer, creating rich undertones of coffee, caramel, and chocolate. And somebody's got a picture of it with a giant plate of nachos. Now, their food is really good there, so that's why we'll go. Because, the beer is decent, but the food's pretty amazing. So it's a typical stout, so I don't really need to show it to you because you know what it looks like. But let me sniff it, see if I can pull out any, coffee, caramel, and chocolate.
Yeah, see. Yeah, sniff the bottle.
It's a can. It'll cut me.
Well, don't stick. You don't have to stick your nose on it. You can just hover. You got to hover.
Down inside. So, yeah, about the smell, it's kind of a mixture. It does have a bit more of the coffee than the caramel and chocolate. And when I drink it, I get that too. I get a nice black, dark coffee flavor to it. The caramel and chocolate is a little bit in the front. You do get some of the bourbon barrel. It's not overwhelming, or not overwhelming, as strong as you might get from something from Founders that's got the bourbon barrel in there. But I like it quite a bit, which is why I had it, one, in the refrigerator, because I don't tend to get a lot of to-go when we get over there. But I did have a couple cans of this left over from Christmas, I think, maybe January time frame. And I rated it a 4.5. Mm-hmm. Anytime they come out with either the Old Dominion Imperial Stout, which has won awards, or this bourbon barrel aged version of it, then that's pretty much all I'll order when it's there, because they don't really come out with it all that much. So when I do, I'll grab it. So 4.5, it probably could go a little bit higher, a little bit lower, depending on the day, but 4.5 I feel is a really good spot for it. And again, I will grab it anytime. And once I saw that this was able to go, it was no brainer to get it. So Two Silos Brewing Company Barrel Reserve Imperial Stout, get it if you can. And I don't know if they distribute anywhere.
Nice.
Excuse me, outside of Northern Virginia. I'd be curious to see how far they go. But
I mean, I've never heard of it other than when you've had it on the show or passing by the place, By the way, I was so convinced that I would like the Orange Twist, I brought two orange twists down to drink today.
You know.
I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to grab two of these because they're going to be really good. Super Listener Day, if you're listening, I'll give you some of these too.
I'm cleaning out my refrigerator because we're going to have a party here in a couple of weeks for graduation, 3 weeks from now. And I'm going through and I'm drinking.
Finally graduated from clown college.
I'm drinking all the old beer so we can use a refrigerator. There's some really old stuff in there, and I pulled out a sweet baby banana. Like,
sure.
I don't remember when I had that. And there was some stuff I think I told you I got gifted from somebody from 2017 in there. So I'm out there Googling how old can beer be. It said as long as it's refrigerated, it'll stay for a couple of years. But I feel like 2017's
a couple of years is not seven, though. Seven years is pushing that couple of years.
I come back and I'll give it to you. I'll give it. You take it home with you. You and Dave. You and Dave can share it. Too funny. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Kelly and I were talking.
I'm going to try some of them.
Kelly and I were talking the other day. It was kind of funny. She's like, "Well, you know." She goes, "Well, is Robert gonna like come back up to Detroit or something like that, or come to Michigan?" I'm like, we kind of talked about it for a minute, but I'm like, we didn't have a whole lot of time to sit there and chit chat. Like, as we were on a tour of Mount Vernon at the time,
I was having fun with my buddy Colin.
But she goes, "Well, like, could Melissa come too?" I'm like,
she does. She said she wants to come up there because I think I told you we talked about it a little bit. I'd come up the week of those games. And then she would come out, you know, at the end of the week. And I said, "Well, I gotta, you know, before I tell Rob, I'm gonna be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so we can go to baseball games. I gotta make sure. I gotta figure out what day works, and then hit one." I said, "Well, then I'll do two of the days, like Wednesday, Thursday, and then not that I'd stay through the whole weekend, but I could. But I said I don't know what that looks like for time off, so." Said, "I'll have to figure that out. And maybe it's just Thursday, Friday. And if it rains Thursday, then we don't go." But so I had all kind of contingency. And then she said, "Oh, yeah, we'll get there." Yeah. Then she keeps talking about, "Oh, we'll go to Canada." Like, well, I don't know if they want to drive all the way to Canada again. So she's
well, and I'll tell you this much. Like, I mean, you saw a small portion of Detroit.
I got shot at 8 Mile.
It was Founders, a couple other places, and then Greektown, where we went to Astoria.
She wants to go to Astoria, too. She's already told me that. And I said, that's not in Canada, though. That's the problem.
You can spend a whole weekend in Detroit. And so there's definitely, you know, Kelly even mentioned, she's like, maybe we could...
Frankenmuth.
We could get... Kind of like we did, like, in Detroit. Well, shoot. I mean, we could do Frankenmuth is like it's an hour and a half from where
there national monuments and battlefields.
There's none of those. It's a really cool place. There's none of those though. But we could always we could do a day trip to Frankenmuth one day, and this and we'll figure something out.
A drive to the covered bridge and turn around.
Kelly would really like to just like hang out, like get a room at one of the hotels in downtown Detroit. And spend a couple days down there, like with you guys, like that'd be kind of cool. And I'll tell you, there's some like amazing places to eat and drink, and you know we like to do both of those things. You know, so you figure something out. The NFL draft is happening now in Detroit, yesterday. And there's a lot of buzz around the attendance because there's like 400,000 people that showed up for it. So like it's I know a ton of people that are down there. For the draft, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool seeing the city turn out, but just the positive feedback too. You go back 10 years and look for people that have a positive opinion of the city of Detroit, but it really has turned a corner, and it's pretty cool place to hang out and stay and eat and enjoy. And so we can go to Belle Isle and go down the slide with the bumps.
I forgot about that.
That was shut down very quickly. Maybe T-Baby's around there recording music videos. You never know.
We'll record our own this time.
But anyways, we'll figure out something. But Kelly's got big plans.
Well, we'll figure it out. Well, let's get some crazy news.
Let's do it.
Oh, That thing's still singing too in some parts of the world. I think I told you we found it. Okay, there we go. We did come across it and we said, "Oh, let's see if it works." And we opened it up and it started going. So yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's still alive.
This is a story that I think we can all relate to.
Yep, I saw this one too. I had it set in there. It was the first story that I saw this week.
Fantastic. So we're going to our friends at thedailymail.co.uk, where a man with Britain's largest penis reveals why he won't get a size reduction surgery. Surgery despite all the downsides. A man who has Britain's largest penis says the accolade comes with a number of problems, but he doesn't plan on getting size reduction surgery. Matt Barr, 40, of Cambridge University graduate, first realized he had a bigger penis, measuring at more than 12 inches, than his peers during showers after PE at school, when he had it tucked into his sock. Well, being so well endowed has actually come with a lot of a whole host of problems, including difficulties while dating and people getting the wrong idea during a yoga class. However, his penis reduction surgery is very rare, complicated, and expensive, and is usually only carried out for medical reasons. During an appearance on This Morning on Tuesday, when host Brian Shepherd asked if Matt had considered having an operation to minimize the size of his penis, he explained that he likely
won't. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Matt explained, "I've looked into this. It's very expensive surgery. It costs about 15,000 euros, roughly. It's not done very often. It's only done normally."
Are we trash?
In the case, okay, wait, I see what they're saying. It's not done very often. It's only done normally in the cases of tumors and things like that. In the case of normal function, it's not common. It's difficult because it's not something you really spring on people as a surprise, because it just does scare people away generally. But obviously, you don't want to be creepy and bring it up too early. So how you start the conversation? I just show it. No, that's not what he said. Reduction corporoplasty is a highly specialized procedure used to reduce the girth and length of a penis. The more popular version of this is the opposite. Matt, who is in the top 0.01% of penis sizes, previously appeared on Channel 4 program My Massive Cock, I'm assuming is where it's what it says, where he discusses surgery options with Dr. Ninad Jiv. Why do I always get these? Ninad
Ashbishekovic.
He is surgeon with Dr. Ashbishekovic, a specialist in urology. He said he'd always wondered about what life would be like if he lost 3 or 4 inches from his length. But after he was told that even losing an inch from his penis would be life-changing, he decided against getting surgery.
Simple enough.
Dr. Kajovic. Dr. Djekovic explained that the surgery would take place while he was erect. That they would amputate the amount he wanted gone before reconstructing it, for that matter. Matt asked if he could be reduced to 9 inches and have a couple inches taken away from the girth. "We can't do a salami technique," the doctor said. "Once you've had the surgery, that's it. First of all, you should know that they are performed very seldomly because there are no clear statistics regarding success rate nor a clear statistic regarding the complication rate. Per year, we have 2 or 3 patients performing this type of surgery." Matt told the Metro, "It's super rare, actually. He can lead a poor erectile health afterward. It can lead to poor erectile health afterwards. It's visually unappealing because of the way they cut away at it." You're left with stitches and scars, and it's a very severe choice. If I was in a long-term relationship, I'd want that to be an option we could pursue. But you also have the thought of, what if I get a reduction and then I meet someone who would really like me when I was big? Sometimes Matt has even felt lightheaded when wearing a condom.
Probably.
Because all the his blood
toes go numb.
Leaving his system. And he has struggled to find one that fits him. While many men around the world have requested enlargements from their plastic surgeons, having the size of a penis reduced is much rarer. It's hard to believe. Where reduction surgery can cost 15,000 euros, enlargement surgery costs around 3,000 at its cheapest. It's cheaper to get it enlarged. In 2015, a 17-year-old boy became the world's first patient to undergo penis reduction surgery. This American teen requested the surgery after his penis grew too large, and many found it difficult to have sex or play competitive sports. It measured 7 inches in length with a circumference of 10 inches while flaccid. Jesus Christ. It didn't actually grow while erect, but it just became firmer. So he was a shower, not a grower. His surgeon, Raphael Carrion, a urologist at the University of South Florida, said they decided to embark on a surgical technique normally used to treat Pyrenees disease, a condition where scar tissue develops causing it to bend. The surgeon sliced along an old circumcision scar, unwrapped the skin of the penis, and cut out 2 segments of tissue from the other side. Dr. Carrion told Mail Online previously, Lord knows there's a global race on how to make it longer and thicker in plastic surgery circles, but very little on how to make it
smaller. The things you'll do for extra pudding.
It's a bit like having two side tummy tucks. That's how we explained it to him. The doctors were able to bypass the urethra, the tube that carries urine through the penis, and all the nerves that provide sensation. The teenager spent about just 2 days. It's so long.
That's what she said.
The article is longer than this guy's dick. So the teenager spent 2 days in the hospital. And
he's like a heavy Jason Sudeikis.
He said it looks cosmetically appealing. He said it was a life-changing event. He was all smiles, so he seemed to like it. In Matt's case, he said he'd always had a bigger penis, but he first noticed it around age 12 when getting changed in PE. This guy is just sitting there, too, by the way, with a cardigan on. His
shirt's busting at the seams.
And a jacket with his gut poking through it.
His buttons are, except for the one that did pop, those buttons are holding on. Now, I would be doing the same thing, although I'd choose to wear something different. So it's not like I'm svelte and I'm mocking him, just thinking, there's probably a different shirt you should have picked if you're going to be sitting like that.
So I'm going to fast forward a bunch. I'm just going to skip this whole section here. Discussing the intimate topic as someone who is shy, he said, I'm trying to dispel some of the stigmas. I don't see why it's different. Talking about this, talking about your breasts or any other bodily part. It's not sexualized. It's just a fact of life. Channel 4 documentary described a degrading experience where an ex-girlfriend had made him use a penis pump so he would be even larger than usual. So she would then enjoy looking at him while they were doing mundane activities like playing Scrabble or watching TV. Matt said he was treated like a piece of meat, especially when she said images of him around without his consent. Oh, she sent images around to discuss the issue further.
I never liked her anyway.
Matt has written a book about his predicament titled The Long Story, Life with One of the World's Largest Penises. While he has no specific release date as of yet, he revealed it's likely to hit shelves next year. I've already pre-ordered it, so I'll send you my copy when I'm done reading. The world's largest penis is thought to belong to Robert Esquivel Cabrera from Mexico, who has a manhood Robert measuring 18.9 inches. Holy shit. That's wild. And there it is. So
there's a lot to unpack.
That's crazy. I clicked the link to this article with this Mexican guy, and
no pictures, yeah, please.
It's a lot going on there. He seems happy with it, though.
I'm sure.
No, it's all blurred out and stuff. It's still Daily Mail. It's like they're not going to
show DailyMail.co.uk.
That's it. They show more things there than they would here in the U.S. But
not a but big still 12
not,
inch.
Not that much. Not that much. If you want to catch, I left huge chunks of this out because this story just went on forever. It was probably written by a guy with a very small penis.
Usually, you read the whole thing. You got to start over.
Anyway, it's there if you wanna watch or read the whole article. It's there for you to enjoy.
You got to read the whole thing again. Usually you don't cut it out. I'm the one that skips through parts of the stories,
I couldn't talk about this guy's penis anymore.
You were done.
I hit my max.
Well, I tell you what, that I could talk about all day. And that's spaghetti, Rob.
Yeah,
I do like a good spaghetti. Now, this next one's going to take us to our friends at WTHR. And I don't know where that is, but I feel like it's going to tell us where it says gun shown and
Indianapolis.
Same thing. And spaghetti thrown at a pregnant woman during a road rage incident in Indianapolis. I guess that was my clue.
Oh, there it is.
I could have read that and known that it was in Indianapolis.
Or the picture that says police in Indianapolis.
I was reading the headline.
The first world of the story has Indianapolis in all caps.
I was reading the headline. I wasn't looking at the pictures yet.
I mean, there's also the thing at the top of the screen that shows the weather in Indianapolis now.
I'm reading the headline. I'm not skipping ahead. I'm reading the headline, and then I saw the spaghetti part, and I'm thinking, oh, Melissa makes good spaghetti. So I got distracted here. So I'm not distracted like you were reading the story about a man's 12-inch penis. I'm reading about spaghetti.
I couldn't take it anymore, though, so I skipped.
You could only take 12 inches of it. It's only so much. The driver of the other car was arrested and is charged with intimidation and pointing a firearm, not charged with pointing a spaghetti. Police found a pregnant woman in her car covered in spaghetti after a road rage incident in the northwest side of Indianapolis on Saturday evening. According to the police, a woman called 911 around 5 p.m. April 17th.
The police
saying a driver had flashed a gun at her during a road rage incident. The woman told police she was turning right into West 46th Street from Mahler Road when the other driver made a left turn in front of her. The woman shouted at the other driver, who she claims then brake checked her. She made it around the other driver, who then showed her a silver gun and followed her with a big plate of spaghetti. The woman told police she was too scared to stop at her house, so she circled around and called. You're flicking your orange. Called the police. The woman, who also had her three children in the car with her, said she was happy to get the spaghetti thrown at her because then she wouldn't have had to make dinner. The other driver then.
It's true.
I added that part. Then took the container of spaghetti and threw it.
Nice.
You're not going to throw spaghetti at anybody if it's any good. Covering her and her car. She also claims the other driver sideswiped her at the same time. She claims she tried to get the other driver to give insurance information. So he showed a gun and threw spaghetti at her, and she's give me your insurance card. The other driver was again holding a gun and pointing at her, and she persisted. The driver of the other car claimed the woman hit. Oh, Wait a minute.
Spaghetti that's grown ass thrown at you.
She said the other driver. So did you, you're envisioning this in your head, and the other driver is male or female in your head?
It, I guess it's female.
Well, right? Yeah, because you read ahead. The driver.
No. I honestly just assumed.
If you're throwing spaghetti, it's got to be a woman.
Because they were throwing spaghetti. And one thing I've learned in hosting the Two Bobs podcast is that most of the stupid shit that's being used in assaults, like food items, is generally going to be a female.
So you're better than me, because I just envision it being a guy being this stupid. The driver of the other car claimed the woman hit her car. That's the part that got me. And she was simply following to get a picture of the license plate. She's going to use her gun to take a picture. It's like phones that have cameras in them now. Now guns do. Police arrested Sheila.
They just started doing that.
They added in there, you know. They could zoom. You could take moon pictures with it. Made by Samsung. Police arrested Sheila Pride of Indianapolis, and she is charged with intimidation and pointing a firearm. Her trial has been tentatively set for June. So as I always do, I'm going to highlight her name and hit Google and see what. Oh, that's it. I was going to say, she's CEO of something, but that's not her.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that could be.
I thought you were just pretending that I just like aggressively belch into the mic, and I surprised myself. Even.
Well, I didn't hear you. I was looking at this, and the first thing that came up said CEO of something or other, and CEO of something or other is not going to be throwing spaghetti and brandishing a gun, I would think. She has a lot of letters after her name, LCSWRYTLMT, and then she's CEO. So I don't think that's her. It says
that's a lot of
letters.
I would think that that's probably not
St. person. Louis, Missouri. I don't know where that is.
Brandishing guns and spaghetti assaulting people.
I don't know
people.
Where that is.
Have we already had an episode titled Spaghetti Assault?
We have, and I meant to look that up. So I'll search.
Happen again.
We have chickens. Well,
why is this such a popular, weapon?
Chicken spaghetti. Mutual pasta battery TTB 158.
Oh, that's a good one.
But yeah, chicken spaghetti TTB 042. You had a buffalo sweat oatmeal stout. After Rob got shit for drinking beer, and then I drank. After giving Rob shit for drinking a beer that the other Bob previously drank on the show, Robert decided to pick a beer that he had already had as well. Karma's a bitch. I remember that too. I remember sitting down here with the Great Lakes Commodore Perry, and this is episode 42. So we were barely from the beer. We were not even 40 episodes in. Where's the chicken spaghetti? Next week, Thanksgiving, opportunity, pilgrims. Depends on Bob Settle, the most famous reference food arguments. Chicken spaghetti. Yeah, there was something about that. That was back before we did all the crazy news. We threw a little crazy news in there back then, but it was, a lot of food and talking about Thanksgiving and stuff, even if it wasn't Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But yeah, mutual pasta battery 158.
I knew it was something with noodles.
Yeah, let's just lay some people food. What? Oh, there it is. What could possibly make your local trailer park trashier? Dedicating it to swingers. The T-Boys suffered enough. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good old T-Boys.
Yeah, there's no, it.
Good old T-Boys. I'm going to fit into that shirt in no time.
Too funny. All right. Where's our next one going to take us? I want spaghetti.
We're going to Aurora. Aurora. Which I'm assuming is Aurora.
Borealis, Rob. Colorado. It's in the state of Borealis.
Aurora. Nice. I heard it's very beautiful there. Aurora man was guilty of pulling a gun on a Burger King worker or refused drugs as payment. That's weird. The subheading says, during his arrest, Eugene said he was not physically hurt, but his feelings were hurt, the affidavit said. The Aurora man faces more than four.
Impossible for them to conduct a test to determine his blood alcohol level.
The Aurora man faces more than 400 years.
The sentences for this stuff is the wildest thing. And then you have people doing like major shit, and it's like, yeah, it's fine. Let him stay at home. We'll come find him later.
400 years in prison.
Jesus.
For late night crime spree. That began when he pulled a gun in Burger King drive-thru after an employee refused payment in the form of drugs, possibly methamphetamine. Adrian Robertson, 40.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I am podcasting, oh, yes. I didn't
know. Can I be on your podcast?
I just have a question.
What question do you have?
Don't worry, it's not about McRibs and cheese on a sandwich.
Okay, good.
I'm making a story. I was just wondering how I print it.
Well, did you make the story yet?
No, he wants to print it first.
Well, there's just a blank piece of paper.
Well, how do I print it? Well, I want to know.
Make the story
no,
first.
No, just tell me how to print it.
You go to Gloria, print.
There is no button.
What do you do?
How do I print a story that doesn't exist, Dad?
See? You can't find it.
Go to file, and then go to print.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
That was easy.
Yeah. Bye. Aurora man faces more than 400 years in prison for a late night crime spree that began when he pulled a gun on a Burger King drive-thru employee for his refused payment in the form of drugs, possibly methamphetamine. Eugene Robertson, 40, would go on to fire multiple shots. Whoops.
I'm drinking an expired
beer. Narrowly avoid being shot himself, sounds delicious, during the series of bizarre confrontations that he instigated on the night of October 17th, 2022, according to unrest. And this article is dated April 18th, 2024, by the way. According to an arrest affidavit prepared by Aurora Police, Robertson was found guilty April 12th of 8 counts of attempted first degree murder with an extreme indifference, 4 counts of menacing using a firearm, 2 counts of reckless endangerment, as well as single counts of illegally discharging a firearm.
I don't know if I can drink this.
That's 4. Possession of methamphetamine for harassment. It probably is spicy.
I better put it down before I spill it on myself.
Robert's about to drink a 70-year-old banana beer.
Why is it spicy?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I put it near
my
nose.
Go ahead.
I was like, oh, my God.
See,
that smells... That smells really spicy.
When you can tell it's bad just by smelling it.
Spicy. I could. Oh man, it tricked me. Well, now this isn't 7 years old though. Oh Jesus! Okay. No, it's not. Well, yeah, it's fine. January 2023 is when it was canned.
Okay, I mean,
let me see. Okay, but it does smell right.
Employee of the Burger King now near Alameda Avenue and Buckley Road told police he believed he was going to be shot and killed after turning down Robertson's offer of a baggie of drugs. Instead, Robertson drove away and pulled up to the 7-Eleven at the northwest corner of the intersection. DA's office spokesman Eric Ross wrote in an email that a baggie of dropped TTB 248 baggie of drugs by Robertson at the 7-Eleven and recovered by police, which contained about 5 grams of methamphetamine, resembled the baggie described by the drive-thru worker. A witness later told police that when Robertson entered the 7-Eleven, there seemed to be something off about him, and that Robertson was talking about God and carrying a Bible with a purple cover.
He's a good boy.
It's not a Trump Bible. Robertson was not a good boy. Robertson and the witness got into an argument, and Robertson drew his Robertson's handgun, and Robertson pointed at the head of the store. Employee was not Robertson. Robertson then shot a television screen that was displayed surveillance footage of the inside of the store, including Robertson. The witnesses ran through the door and retrieved his own. Witness ran out through the door and retrieved his own handgun from his car. We typically keep those there. When Robertson walked outside, Robertson started shooting at the witness, who returned fire at Robertson. Following the brief gun battle, during which neither man, including Robertson, was hit, Robertson fled the scene. About 15 minutes after responding to the 7-Eleven shooting, and less than an hour after they were called out to the Burger King, Aurora police officers were dispatched to yet another 911 call involving Robertson, this time a woman who reported that her friend Eugene had just shot at her apartment. Wait. So Eugene shot at... The woman said Robertson knocked her on the front, knocked on her front door, and when she refused to open it, fired at the door twice. He also, Robertson, also shot once through a sliding glass door into the woman's apartment where multiple people were present.
This was all about Burger King, wasn't it?
Prison. Robertson, I mean, there's a lot going on here. Robertson lived in the same apartment complex, which is located less than a mile from Alameda and Buckley, which is where the Burger King was. Officers found the Audi that witnesses had said was involved in two previous incidents parked nearby. When investigating, you really give me a lot of long articles. When questioning during his arrest, Eugene, while investigating the shooting at the complex, police spotted Robertson, who tried to escape on foot by running through a bush. When Robertson emerged from the bush, an officer shot at Robertson and missed. Robertson was arrested. During Robertson's arrest, Eugene said he was not physically hurt, but his feelings were hurt, the affidavit said. When questioned by police, Robertson initially provided a false name and said he didn't know what officers were talking about when they asked about the handgun that had been used in the incidents that evening. Officers had learned that Robertson had an outstanding warrant in connection with the March of 2021 case where Robertson was allegedly involved in a vehicle crash and shooting. Robertson fled the scene. Robertson removed or lost his... He removed or lost his pants. It flagged out an Aurora police officer who arrested him on suspicion of illegally possessing a firearm. And methamphetamine, probably.
This is a long
police one. Wrote in the arrest affidavit associated with that case that Robertson said Robertson had consumed marijuana, and Robertson also consumed alcohol prior to Robertson encountering officers, which would have been a violation of a prior Arapahoe County court order. Robertson also spontaneously uttered that he was wearing white Nike tennis shoes and blue jeans prior to our arrival. The 2021 affidavit says. Same affidavit mentions that Robertson had previously served an 84-month sentence for felony distribution of crack cocaine, making it illegal for him to possess a firearm. Robertson's 2021 case remains open, while his sentencing for the recent convictions is scheduled to take place on August 9th. It's a miracle. No one was hurt or killed, prosecutor Taylor McCreary said on Thursday news release from the DA's office regarding Robertson's. This defendant, Robertson, endangered countless lives that night by recklessly firing a gun. So
that's a long one. Now there
Robertson I'm still trying to. I'm trying, like, 99% of the story had nothing to do with Burger King.
Well, you kept saying Robertson, and I got curious. And I did a search, and it said 25 times. I did a search of the article, it was 25 times. You may have added one or two, but really, most of those were in there.
I added most of them were, but
There's a bunch of them.
Sounds like a fun night to me.
Yeah, I'll send you the pic. A lot of mentions is Robertson. God damn it, Robertson.
Sweet baby banana, spicy banana,
spicy banana sherbet.
Sherbet. Sorbet. Sure. Oh, I got a message.
Funny. Now this one.
There's a lot of Robertsons.
I had set aside. It came up today when I realized that today was Friday and it was the day that we were going to record because I don't know what any day is at any given time if you were to ask me. So I was glad to see this one pop up. It's from our friends at People. Yep.
Oh, yeah. People.
And the story, and I haven't.
This is also very lengthy, extremely lengthy article.
Well, that's People Magazine for you. So, so I saw it and I thought, okay, this is a good one. I remember as a kid, when it was time to go to bed, my bed was, and I didn't have a huge room, but as a kid, it feels like it's huge. I'd turn off the light and have to go across the room. And I, at one point, I like to rearrange it. So I'd put it near the door, or I'd put it away from the door, or I'd put it all over the place. I'd rearrange it. Every couple of months, I would rearrange it. And I still remember, even if my bed was right by the door where I turned the lights off, I would jump into bed and get under the covers because I was always afraid that something was going to be under my bed and grab my feet and kill me in my sleep. Here I am over 50 years later. That didn't happen. Fortunately or unfortunately, but this one, it kind of threw me back to that time because I read it and it says that a toddler tells mom that she hears monsters in her bedroom, only to find that a beekeeper discovers over 50,000 bees in the wall.
Oh, hell no.
100, yep.
Years ago, this was several years. This at our old house, we had a situation where there were yellow jackets who had a large had I think it was yeah it was like yellow jackets had a very large hive.
Yeah.
I don't know, yellow jackets have hives, but it was in our. In our attic.
By the door wall.
And these fucking things were getting into the house. So suddenly I'd be looking over and there'd be a yellow jacket just walking across like the fireplace mantle or something like that. We got it taken care of, but it did scare the piss out of me. I like something about Something about
it's like a Stephen King novel.
Or yellow wasps, anything getting into my house. I don't mind them when they're outside. Have at it. Once it's in my house, though, I remember another story where my parents, I think there was a bees, there was a hive up inside their, not in their attic, but like up in under the siding, and my dad kind of like patched it, like he like tried to trap them inside, and I remember I was a kid. The guy, finally they had to have somebody come out and treat it. And the guy said, well, you don't want to do that because they'll go into the house. Then they'll even chew through the drywall to try to get out, right? And in my bedroom was kind of located above where these bees had been. And I just remember like losing sleep over like laying there waiting for these bees to chew through the drywall and then suddenly like get into my room. But anyway.
Yeah, I did. Bees, that's how we got on the bees, but
Okay. I just want to make I don't want to spoil this. No, there's the no surprise. More
surprise. The it's 100-year-old wall bees. Had months of bees work hidden throughout the attic and the walls. And they can build that shit fast too.
Oh dear God.
A toddler's persistence about monsters in her bedroom led to an unbelievable discovery in the family's 100-year-old farmhouse. Ashley Mass's class, who goes by Class Ashley on TikTok, I'll follow her before it goes away, who tried to reassure the oldest, I don't know where I'm going to find all my bourbon recipes now, tried to reassure the oldest of her three kids that she was stupid. No, I didn't say that. When she first started reporting there were monsters in her room, she was saying she heard monsters in her bedroom wall, but we'd been watching Monsters, Inc., Ashley told People. She was a little speech delayed, so when we tried to explain it, we thought she meant that there were monsters in her closet. To reassure her, Ashley and her husband tried everything. We told her nobody's in that closet. We even made jokes about fighting the monster. We gave her a spray bottle full of water. That was her monster spray. Then the toddler started to have night terrors, with Ashley explaining she's just freaking out. She had to stay in our room, and she kept saying that there were monsters. We thought in part that she was exaggerating and a little regression, since I had just had a baby in February and was pregnant and tired before that. Then a few weeks ago, Ashley and her husband noticed a few bees had been entering their attic. Since they lived in a 100-year-old farmhouse, they decided to get ahead and call a pest control company. Once they informed that there were honeybees, they had to take a different approach. And there's a picture here which has where like the drywall is cut out of the wall and the roof, and it's like a big old honey hive back there. And the infrared, which I'll probably use that in the show art, the infrared of the wall, it's like blazing red on the other side of it. Pest control company told us that they were honeybees, probably just looking for a place to stay. They don't spray them because they're endangered, so they took me down this whole new path. Couple thought it would be as simple as contacting a beekeeper and patching the hole that it came through. A spicy banana beer here in my brain, but that turned out to not be the case. No, it wasn't very good to begin with, and I remember that. And it's still not very good. Beekeeper after beekeeper was like, nope, they're not in the house yet. They drilled a hole up in our attic and said they didn't see anything. And it wasn't until a beekeeper actually sat there and observed that he was like, okay, I see him going down into the floorboards of this unfinished part. Let me see where this wall runs down under there directly is my daughter's room. The beekeeper came prepared with a thermal camera to assess the situation, but nobody could have predicted what they would discover. It is really bright. And the guy that's there next to it, I'm going to say this image, he's like orange, yellow, but then they show where the bees are. And it is blazing like right through that wall. And I didn't know that they gave off that much heat.
Sure is.
At first, I thought it was a body, and I was like, what is that? And then he said, like, well, no, that's a hive. He didn't even think to get his bee gear on yet, but he took a hammer and knocked into the wall. Bees came swarming out like a horror movie. Ashley continues, there's a stream of bees, and the walls where he hit was oozing honey, but it looked like blood because it was really, really dark. Running down my daughter's pink walls, it looked really strange. Really is a long one. Beekeepers acted fast, shutting the door and getting into his gear. He informed Ashley that they had to open up more of the wall to understand the extent of the situation. He opens the wall, and it was one of the biggest hives he's seen in his life. His 40-year career. She shares, 50,000 bees were swarming like crazy. They sat there and counted them in my daughter's room, and it was a nightmare. They were dripping honey everywhere. It was all over her stuff. Grab the peanut butter and some bread, I said. But the first day, the beekeeper was able to remove 20,000 bees in a 100-pound chunk of honeycomb. But his work was far from done.
Wow.
He could sell that to pay for all this. We sealed off the room, and he came back the next day. He took out another 20,000 bees. Now the hole in the wall is covered by plastic, and we still keep getting bees coming in. We think there's another 20,000 bees, so he's coming back anticipating removing another 20,000. Hundreds of thousands by now. Ashley made sure to let her daughter know the monsters were being taken care of. We told her that we found the monsters. You were right. Then we introduced the beekeeper, and she was like, no, he's a monster hunter. She calls him Mr. Monster Hunter for the rest of the day, which was awesome. Beekeeper even showed her how to not be afraid, which was awesome. He let himself get stung so that he could let her hold one and not be scared, but she saw the huge bee box and heard the buzzing and was like, absolutely not. I'll just look at it from over here. Smart kid. Still a lot of work to be done to get the house back to normal. It's about $20,000 in damage. We're gonna have to seal everything up, patch the tiny dime size hole they got into. It's crazy to think all that damage that had been done going from a hole that small. Then we have to re-insulate the entire wall. The honey dripping down on all those electrical wires. We have to redo that. Our daughter is going to be in our bedroom for at least 4 weeks, so we can't have any more children. But we have to wait 2 more weeks to see if the bees... I added that part. See if the bees come in to make a new hive by smelling honey. Scroll down here. Wow, this really goes for a while. Yada, yada, yada.
I mean, you've really hit the final turn here.
If this went on longer, the house is old. The walls are made of plaster. They're cracked. Thousands of bees could have poured in. I'm really thankful my husband and I are on leave right now. We can deal with this situation. But, they figured out what the monsters were. And they not having any more kids for a little bit.
Yeah, they were good.
That's all I know.
They're all set. Until all the monsters are gone.
Now, if she saw that guy from the UK with that big old penis in his pants, she would have thought that was a monster. Guaranteed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. So lucky for you guys, this one's shorter. We're going to Friends at the Onion. Have we been to the Onion
haven't.
Before
no,
the show?
I've always resisted the Onion because it's one of those known news sites. But the other places have either died on the vine or have gotten really extreme. So I figured, well, you know what? I'll go to the Onion for our final story to close this out tonight.
And I like the Onion. I follow the Onion on the social things and some of their stories are really funny. So and I sent you stuff from the Onion before and you've just ignored it. So it's good that you finally are coming around. We're going to Wisconsin where Glade introduces a new meat freshener spray. Touting the product is a quick, easy way to make the putrid stench. Let's try that again. Touting the product is a quick, easy way to take the putrid stench out of expired goods. Household brand Glade announced Wednesday that it released a brand new meat freshener spray.
Expired.
Glade's new meat freshener spray Say goodbye to animal products with rotting, foul odors, and say hello to deliciousness, a Glade spokesperson, Ann Chastain, adding that the spray came in three different deodorizing flavors, including pork, chicken, and beef.
For the first time, we're hearing from the woman accused of performing illegal butt injections.
Oh, yeah, that's... let's see here. It was perfect to spraying all kinds of meats regardless of how long they'd been rotting, whether you've got a rancid mound of ground beef or a fish that's been left out on a 90-degree day. Just one spritz of Glade's meat freshener spray can leave it smelling almost bacteria-free.
Like this beer.
Now you don't have to retch, gag, or vomit while forcing yourself to eat E. coli-laden foods. Plus, it kills almost 90% of maggots.
You can't kill the maggots.
90% of maggots. At press time, Chastain added that Glade also had unveiled a new deodorizing plug-in that could be inserted directly into patties of fetid.
Why is it spicy?
If you think your beer is spicy, Robert, you should have months-old burgers or fish that's been sitting out 90-degree days.
Fish. With a half slice of cheese or a full slice? Or is it double cheese, extra cheese?
It's double or extra cheese.
It's very important how you order it.
It's hard to say. I think either way, they'll know what you mean.
You want a full slice? What an animal.
Woo! So busting.
That's all the stories. We did it.
It just ended like that? The other one.
Let me double
the
check.
Other ones went on forever, and that one just ended in practically mid-sentence.
This is very brief. Yeah, that's the whole.
Wow,
that's the
weird.
Whole thing. I know, right? You think they'd talk about this meat deodorizing spray for pages? They don't, though. It's almost like they knew when to stop writing words.
Too funny. Yeah, recap.
All right, we better do a recap.
Some oranges. Let me get my notes here.
This week.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.